Well, here we are in this time. It's a kind of a peculiar time in the church calendar where we have already celebrated Thanksgiving, and for many of us, the Christmas season has started. I know we, for one, bought our tree yesterday and decorated it, and many of you might have done that already. I know last year we were way behind. It took us a couple weeks, so not everybody's probably decorated yet, but it's the Christmas season, and if you go into stores, I mean, it's been Christmas since Halloween. So there's this tendency in society to fast forward all the time to get to the next thing, to get to the, you know, it'll be noon on Christmas, and the stores will have Valentine's Day stuff in it, probably. I don't know. And there's always this tendency to fast forward, but here we are on this day after Thanksgiving, but we're not yet to Advent, that time that the church has put aside to prepare for the coming of Christ, to prepare for the coming of the Christ child. That Advent season is a wonderful season, but we're not quite there yet. Instead, we have this Sunday, the Sunday we call Christ the King Sunday, to pause and remember. This is why we're celebrating. We're celebrating because Christ is the King. We're not quite to Advent yet, but as we move into it, I want to invite you to a few things. First of all, Saturday, that's up for grabs. That's our chili kickoff trophy. We had our first one last year, and on Saturday, I want everyone to know that you're invited to come and celebrate. We transform the sanctuary. We decorate with the hanging of the greens, just the work of it, not the beautiful service that's going to be that Sunday, but we prepare for that. And then afterwards, we pitch in and many hands make light work. And then we get together and we'll have our second annual chili cook-off. And on this trophy, there's a couple names on there. I won't tell you who. But if you'd like your name on that trophy, you can come Saturday and turn in your chili, and we'll have a good time with that. But there's other ways to prepare for Christ, the coming of Christ. You know, people talk a lot about wanting to keep Christ in Christmas. The best way to keep Christ in Christmas is to be the body of Christ. No one can take Christ out of my Christmas as long as I'm striving to be the body of Christ. No signs of JCPenney or holiday greetings can keep me from having Christ in Christmas. And if you think they can, I worry that you might underestimate the power of Jesus Christ. But if you want to be the body of Christ, there's a couple ways to do that. And it's in fellowship, it's in worship, it's in prayer, and it's in Bible study. And I'm starting a study on Wednesday nights as the children perform, start to get ready for their Christmas program. We have our Wednesday night dinner at 5:30. I'm starting a new group at 6 o'clock called Connections, and you're invited to be a part of that. We've also got two Bible studies that are specifically about Advent called The Journey. And this is a study that the children are doing, a Sunday school version of it. The middle school and high school youth are doing a version of it. And on Tuesdays, there's two opportunities. Barb and Aaron are going to be leading both a daytime and a nighttime small group for that. So if you want to keep Christ in Christmas, that's a great way to do it, to study the coming of Christ. And I want to show you just a quick little teaser about this wonderful study called The Journey. invited to go on that journey together as well. But here we are on Christ the King Sunday. And we have this conversation between Jesus and Pilate. This is near the end of Jesus' life here on earth. This is part of his trial as he stands before the governor, the highest ranking Roman in Judea. And the short dialogue that we have here is part of a longer story. It's often called a trial, but that a trial implies that the end is in doubt. The fact is that Jesus was condemned long before this trial, that the Jewish leadership, the religious leaders especially, had condemned him much earlier in the Gospel of John. This was just getting through the red tape to get him onto that cross. But we have this conversation between Jesus and Pilate, and it's a remarkable dialogue because this is Pilate. This is, again, the highest ranking Roman in the land. He, for all intents and purposes, is the king. He is he's in the direct line under the emperor, under Caesar. And for those that have heard that somehow Pilate was sort of a passive bystander or an innocent bystander in this, you're underestimating, again, the fact that Pilate was in charge. Much evil has been done in this world by those that thought that Pilate was just an innocent bystander that was manipulated by the bloodthirsty Jews. This man was in charge. There was no questioning his authority. His authority rested in Caesar, and Caesar's authority rested in one place, the end of a spear. Power of Rome, the power of Caesar, the power of Pontius Pilate was in his army, in his military might. It was a tenuous power, but this is how kings are defined. Pilate and Caesar was the right kind of king. He was a king as we think about kings. Kings are supposed to have grand militaries and raise armies and have lots of subordinates underneath them, and they build up a hierarchy of those that must serve only the king. And any question of that authority is met swiftly and violently. It's all a system, a very rigid system, where it's very much understood who's ahead, who's in charge of whom. And it all ends with Caesar. And as far as Jesus and Pilate were concerned, Pilate was the ruler in that moment. And see, Jesus didn't look like a king. He didn't have any of that. He didn't have the pomp and circumstance. He didn't have a grand army at his back. He didn't have guards and bodyguards. He didn't have the wealth and the grand palaces. He was simply anointed by God. Anointed by God, as he said, to proclaim release to the captives, to give sight to the blind, and proclaim good news to the poor, to let the captives go free. Yeah, this is Jesus. This is the king. And yet, he didn't look anything like a king. Yet Pilate asks him these questions. See, Pilate knew about this. He had to have known about this man, this Jesus. He had to know something, because his very first question is, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Pilate had heard something about this countryside, uneducated, poor man, because Jesus was starting to stir up trouble. He was causing disorder. He was gaining followers, not by strength of might, but by the strength of compassion. He was getting followers by healing the sick, by calling women and children to him, by feeding the hungry, by eating with tax collectors and sinners. He was stirring up trouble. And Pilate's main objective, his main focus was order. Keep everything in order. Anything that disturbed the order needed to be crushed. Pilate was in the work of comforting the comfortable, protecting the protected, and defending the status quo at all costs. And Jesus was causing trouble. He was causing trouble. He was talking about turning the world upside down. He was talking about the first would be last. He was telling the children to come to him. He was doing things that nobody thought were right. He was challenging authority, questioning both religious authority especially. And so they wanted him gone. Pilate asks him, in the course of this conversation, even this conversation doesn't work the way it's supposed to work. Pilate is the one that's supposed to be asking the questions, and Jesus doesn't even, he doesn't play his game. He doesn't act like a good subordinate should. He has no fear of this man and all his might and armor. And so finally Pilate asks him, "So, are you a king?" Jesus didn't look like a king. He didn't act like a king. And that question that Pilate asked so long ago has lingered through the centuries, has lived through the ages, and is left now for us to answer. So, is this Jesus a king? This Jesus who showed compassion? This Jesus who offers grace? Is he the king? There are a lot of Caesars and would-be kings still today asking this question. Wanting to know from you right now, these would-be Caesars with their sitting on paper thrones with gilded crowns, want to know who's going to rule your life. There's the king of shame. The one that tells those lies about you, the one that tells you that you're not good enough, the ones that tells you that there's something wrong with you. The ones that tell you that you're something less than created in the image of God. Is that the king, or is Jesus the king? Jesus, the one who reminds us that God created all things and called them good. That God created you in the image of God. Breathe life into you. Breathe the Holy Spirit into you if you just ask. And takes away all that shame, takes away all the guilt, takes away all the sadness. And says, come to me, just as you are. Or there's the king of bitterness, and anger, retribution, vengeance. The king that says, if somebody's hurt you, you hold on to that hurt with all your might and you get back at them as soon as you can. The king that tells you that anger needs to be fed, that the only way to make it in this world is to knock other people down, to look out for number one. That's a king that's strong these days. Or is Jesus king? The one who offers forgiveness. The one who offers grace. The one who hung on a cross and looked down at the ones that put him there and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Maybe it's the king of apathy or resignation. You know, the world is just too messed up for me. I can't do anything about it. Have you heard that lie before? Well, that's a strong one, too. You know it's a lie, don't you? one person willing to put themselves out there for Christ, that one person willing to share an idea, one person willing to share a hand, share some love, to light a spark, can make a difference in this world. That small things done with great love can change the world, as Mother Teresa said. Yeah. There's a lot of kings out there, aren't there? And see, it's easy to believe them, that they're loud and their lies are seductive. The king of loneliness that says, you're the only one, no one cares about you, but it's a lie. Jesus loves you, God's with you. The king of fear that tells you, that keeps you up at night, that makes you worried about how you're going to pay the bills, that makes you worried about how you're going to get through the next day. It's a lie. God is with you. He cares about you. He loves you. He provides for you. There's enough at Christ's table for all. These lies, these false kings, they stand up on their paper thrones and they say that you're not good enough, and they say that the world is broken, and they say and they claim and they sell and they think and they tell you that if you have enough stuff, you'll be happy. That if you follow the right path, you know, follow the wrong path, that'll lead to happiness. But there's only one true king. Is it Jesus? I think it is. See, it's easy sometimes to forget, because sometimes this world doesn't look like Jesus is king. We look around and we see these other rulers. We see the rulers of war and poverty and hunger, and it's easy to miss it sometimes. But I'm here to tell you, I'm a witness to Christ as the King. I'm a witness of what it's like when Jesus rules. I've seen it. Have you? Have you seen it? Have you seen someone stretch themselves out a little farther than they thought they could? Have you seen someone answer the call of God? That still small whisper in the night that's telling them to do something that just doesn't make any sense? Have you seen someone whose cure is impossible find healing anyway? I've seen it. I know what it looks like when Jesus Christ is king. And I think a lot of us caught a glimpse of it on Thursday.
I wanted to welcome everybody today. Just so you know, there will also be Community Sunday dinner on Sunday. So this does not replace it. This just adds to it.
Sometimes I think, what will people say of me when I'm only just a memory, when I'm home where my soul belongs? 'Cause I love when no one else would show up. Was I Jesus to the least of us?
My experience today was probably a lot of fun, because I got to meet a lot of new people and help out with a lot of things. I mean, the food was great, and I guess we just had a really great time helping people, and knowing that we were helping people made me feel actually really good about myself.
I think God came to meet you today because I was helping, and I saw God and the people who are here, not only helping, but people who just came to sit down and eat.
Well, I helped out serving the dinner and I poured out drinks. I had a lot of fun. And when I was going around, I felt love inside my heart because I was giving thanks to the people out there that doesn't have any food that usually need to come because they don't have Thanksgiving anywhere.
Because I wanted to make these people feel special. I wanted to go ahead and give them something happy and to be here, not just because they don't have any family, but for them to feel happy and to feel really just feel like they belong and to not have a worry while they're eating and just to have food and everything else.
My experience today was a really good one because I got to help others in our community feel like they belonged here with God. And it made me feel happy that some of these people, even if they didn't have homes, they got food on a day where almost everybody has food.
My experience today was just God's grace in the making. The amount of people that came today from our church, the abundance of food, not knowing what today was going to be, being our first time, we had nothing to worry about, and we knew we wouldn't have anything to worry about. People who have not stepped into our church came today, and they experienced God's love in the hands and the smiles and everything that was given to them, and they left with a smile on their face, knowing that they were loved and blessed as we had blessed them.
That people that come here say this was wonderful and I was treated very well and I was treated like I would want to be treated in a family. I hope that all of our volunteers have a great experience. I hope everybody feels that it was worthwhile and I hope everyone leaves fed.
I saw the Holy Spirit on fire today, and the children that were handing out the bags, the children that were going around and making sure that people were fed, not just with drinks and food, but with smiles and compassion. I saw people sitting that who come here and as church members that sit with people in the community and just experience that we are all together and loving each other as one.
The first part of even dreaming up this dinner, I feel was very Holy Spirit inspired. I feel like God has been knocking on my heart a really long time to do something this way. I feel between not just myself and my own faith and feeling that God said do it and it's going to be great. God also said do this with our church. God is shining through every single one of those people, and that is God's way of also showing me how good people really are, and that when he tells me that we can do this, that I need to not be afraid that we can really do this. So I just have nothing but total confidence that this is going to be amazing. Give it all I have.
So, is Jesus king? Have you seen Jesus ruling? Have you seen Jesus inspiring someone? Calling them out to do more, to be more? I have. There's a lot of would-be kings out there. Lying to you. Screaming at you. But you know who sits on the throne of God? It's not the lion and his might. It's not worldly wisdom or great amounts of money. It's not kings with their armies or pomp and circumstance. The question that's asked of you today, right now, who's going to rule your life? What's going to rule your life? Is it going to be fear? Worry? Closed minds, closed doors? I don't think so. I've seen it too many times here in this place among the people that are gathered here. I know. And so I invite you to declare that Christ is your King. All the would-be Caesars in the world are liars and they're false promises. The God of grace and compassion and love is here offering you this invitation now. So I invite you, if you'd like, to come forward to pray with our prayer partners as we do. And if you'd like to declare to Christ in prayer that you want Jesus to rule your heart, I invite you to do that. You can do that whether you're sitting here in your pew, or you can come forward and make that very brave and very public stance. You can come and pray at the rail for anything you'd like. It's an open invitation. And you can pray with one of our prayer partners, or you can pray on your own. But know that God is calling you, loving you, inviting you to this moment to declare that today, tomorrow, always and everywhere, Jesus Christ.